Hallelujah. Yes. Y'all clap for the band one more time. Yes. Thank you guys for bringing praise and worship here. Man, it's even when we got part of the band, we got Kenny filling in, and just so honored that we even have worship. Amen. That we get to worship. And God's such a good God. Man, He's so good. Thank you guys for being here. By the way, where is Corey today? I don't even know. Andrews, okay. Leaves for Colorado. Yeah, he's suffering for Jesus out there in Colorado. He's going skiing. No, okay. I don't know what he's doing. He's out ministering on the road. And is this the week for the Andrews? Steer rope and everything? All that. That's he's talking right now. So I'm the associate pastor. Corey, our pastor, in case you're new here, he travels a lot. So this is one of the weekends he's traveling. So he travels a lot in the summer. Anyway, he's on the road this week. So glad you guys are here. But if you're new here and you got a packet and you've never been here before, you probably got a little packet in the foyer. Inside of that little packet, there's a little card, and if you could fill that out, we'd appreciate it, and just put it in these offering buckets before we're done today. But if you're new here, we'd like to honor you. So if you're new, would you please raise your hand right quick? Just hold your hand up right quick. We're not going to ask you to come down to the front or nothing. Anybody? Y'all clap for the people that are here. Is there any? Maybe one? All righty. Maybe one. All right. Would y'all turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Go to Psalms, turn right. Go to Isaiah, turn left. Put your blinker on, you know, all that stuff. Turn right, turn left. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 7 it says, for oppression, I'm going to read the Amplified. So it says, for oppression makes a wise man foolish, and a bribe corrupts the good judgment of the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger dwells in the heart of fools. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. As I was reading this, the first thing I thought of when it said bribes, it says, for oppression makes a wise man foolish, and a bribe corrupts good judgment. Since we're talking about money today, of course, like we do every Sunday, and we're talking about tithes and offerings, when I saw that, the first place I thought of was Washington, D.C. I think there needs to be a slogan. Make Washington tithers again. M-W-T-A. Mawata. The reason you have bribes is because people don't trust God financially. That is why there is corruption in our government. That's why there's corruption in business. From the local level all the way to the national, federal level. People get things done because they pay somebody, and then somebody writes legislation, so on and so forth, that, you know, gets somebody their, get their butt. You know, a lot of people become politicians to help their buddies, right? You've got to learn how to trust God financially. Bribes are not the way to do it. Now, bribes are not always, you know, financial. Bribes can be, you know, if you do this, I'll do this for you. That's not really trusting God financially. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you can't, you know, if you're doing that stuff, it's wickedness. You know, hey, if you come over mow my yard, you know, I'll come over and help mow yours next week, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it's, but when it's taken to the, to the heights where you don't trust God financially, you're doing it wrong. Verse 8 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Tithing may be tough, but it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it. the end of the thing is better than the beginning. Yeah, it might be tough to start that tithing thing. So, I mean, if you're a baby Christian, or if maybe you've been going here for, you know, to this church for just a little while, maybe your church didn't talk about tithes and offerings, but you're being overwhelmed with it every Sunday. We're not here to overwhelm you with money. We're not here to try to dig money out of you. This church has gone on. If you've been going here for just a year or so, hey, this church was here long before you came. And it was doing just fine. We're not trying to dig money out of you. Like Corey says, we're trying to teach you how to get money to you. Because if you can get the money to come through you, it can come to you. You have to get a hold of that. This is not to say, well, you know, we need, you know, money to do this, money to do that. Friends, money, giving is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. If you can get a hold of the heart part of the giving, then the giving isn't hard. And when we're all millionaires in here, we won't have to do tithes and offerings anymore, right? But we're getting there. Because when you get to the point where when you're giving and you're giving and, we all are, financially prosperous, maybe Corey move away from tithes and offerings. I don't know. But we ain't there yet. We're working on it, but we're headed that direction. But you have to also remember to be patient. The end of the matter is going to be better. The tithing might be tough at first. Even Corey has said this when he was growing up, there was times when he had a lot of months left at the end of his money. And he didn't know how he was going to get to the end, but he kept tithing. He kept giving. You've got to hang in there and just keep doing the right thing. Keep hanging in there. And then it says, do not be eager to be in your heart to be angry, for anger dwells in the hearts of fools. Verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? And then it says, for it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. We're especially in these times right now, it's easy to say, man, I miss the good old days. Well, I'm here to tell you the good old days were pretty good, but there was a lot of things that were wrong with the good old days too. I kind of like today's days, right? I mean, we're one day closer to the rapture, right? And I'm pretty sure that I'm better off now than I was, growing up. And the older you get, the more knowledge you get, the more prosperous you become. The good old days were great, but I don't need a 75 Chevy to drive me to work every day. I like new technology quite a bit. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I like those old trucks, but I love technology. It can be a good and a bad thing. There are some goods about it, and there are some bad things about it. But don't get focused on, well, I miss the good old days. Because when you start reminiscing about things, sometimes you can lose focus on the present and the future. And if you're focused on the good old days, you're gonna get so focused on them that your future and your present and your future becomes hazy. God said, you are not fit for the kingdom. Any man that sets his hand to the plow and looks back is what? Not fit for the kingdom. That's pretty tough to swallow sometimes. Yes, I like the good old days. Yes, I do reminisce about the old days. But am I stuck there? Absolutely not. Because I am more excited about what God's doing today and tomorrow than what He did yesterday. Because that's the things that matter. Eventually, we're all going to live in eternity anyway, where the past won't even matter. The past won't even exist. I mean, can you imagine what eternity feels like when you don't have to live on a watch? You don't have to look at your clock every day to figure out when to get to you got to be somewhere on time. You got to get to the grocery store. You got to get home. You got to feed the kids. You got to do this. There won't be any more of that. You got to learn how to get a hold of the giving part in your heart before it becomes something that starts manifesting into prosperity and awesomeness for you. Get a hold of it in here, because that's where it happens first. Yes, it can be tough. Yes, this might be new to you. It was new to me at once. First time I ever heard Corey talk about tithes and offerings was right over there at the Smiling V. And I didn't even think churches even talked about that stuff, because I'd never heard it. I'd never been to a church that actually talked about it. And then we just got a hold of it and we just kept doing it. And it works. But you're going to have to be patient. The end is better than the beginning. Amen. Y'all come give a big round of applause today for tithes and offerings. Come on up and give. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. This is the verse I really want to focus on. It says, For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. When I saw that scripture the other day, I don't remember if I'd read it or if I was hearing somebody talk about it, but it really caught my attention. Sometimes in life, when things don't go right or whatever, we get confused about, you know, what caused it. You ever done that where you like things are going wrong? You're like, you start looking in the mirror and you're like, was this me or was this Satan? Or was this, how do I fix this? You know, and you start examining yourself, you start looking at yourself, and then you start trying to revert back to old ways in order to fix it. So when it says, but if we, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Guys, we have got to quit trying to rebuild things that Jesus destroyed. When Jesus died on the cross, He did more than just, yes, when He died, you know, through Him we're saved. Through Jesus' blood, through His body being broken, yes, we are saved. Salvation, going to heaven. But He did so much more than that. He set us up for success in all areas of life. Your health, your job, your finances, you know, the cars you drive, the way you raise your kids, how you possess your money, how do you give your money? You cannot rebuild things that God has destroyed. Because if you're building those houses, then you're going to have to keep those houses. You're going to have to tend to them. But when you do things God's way, you can hold God accountable and say, you know, your covenant says that I have this, this, and this. And then God will look back at you and say, you know what, son, you're right. Be blessed. But if you start saying things that don't line up with His Word, and you start saying, well, you know, I wanted to do this, and you know, God, you said I could do this, but and then He looks back at you and says, yeah, but you didn't do it the way I told you to do it. Now it's going to be your problem to fix. You cannot build things that God is destroying. We don't go to heaven anymore, you know, through the law. We don't live by the law. We don't have to sacrifice sheep anymore to get rid of to cover our sins for a year until the next year comes around while you raise up the sheep that's without a blemish. Do not rebuild things that God is tearing down. If God, you know, when you, the Bible says that when you are baptized, the old is passed away and behold, all things become new. All those things that you were doing, you don't have to do those anymore. All those things that you did, you are set free from because of this. God said, I destroyed those things so that you don't have to think about them anymore. Yes, you might have sinned, but you asked for forgiveness. It's over. God says, I throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't live in the old days anymore. Yeah, the old days were great, but they're not as great as they're going to be. He says, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Old things are passed away, guys. Behold, all things become new. This is the newness that you live in. My friends, if you're struggling in life, you know, baby Christians are usually the worst. They go to church, they start enjoying things, they have a good time, they love that good feeling that they got when the Holy Spirit was moving on them, and then when something goes wrong, the devil, the Bible says the devil rips that seed up out of the ground and steals it so that it can't grow. When things happen in your life, don't try to revert back to the old ways of doing things. You forgot those ways. You got to forget those ways of doing it. You got to now practice turning to God when you have problems. You got to practice it. It's a muscle. Faith is a muscle. You got to exercise it. You got to release it. The Bible says you got to release your faith. Release it. It's got to leave you. It's got to go out somewhere. You can't hold a seed in your hand and expect it to grow. You got to release the seed and put it in the ground so that it grows and produces fruit. So with all that being said, let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for giving us knowledge. Thank you for destroying all of the old way of doing things. Because we live in newness now. Lord, we will practice coming to you first before we go to the bank. We'll practice coming to you first before we have to go to our friends to ask for advice. We're going to come to you first from now on, Lord. We're going to quit rebuilding things that you have tore down. We are new creatures in Christ, and behold, we are new creatures in Christ. And I declare we will forget all those things that we've done wrong or all those old ways of doing things, Lord. I declare, I don't care if they were bribes, Lord. We trust you financially. We trust you with our health. And we walk in divine health. And we operate according to your way of doing things. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may eat and drink. Well, since Corey's not here, we have Rusty Feltz coming on up to give us the message today. Would y'all please give him a round of applause?
Thank
Expect
you,
great things through the Word today.
Amen.
Love this guy.
Amen.
Come on, buddy.
Whoop,
oh, sorry.
Whoop.
I about took the cord. Give me.
Oh, you might put it somewhere. Oh, perfect. All right. I'm good. Do you want me to share a couple of announcements? The rodeo, I know Mike McCloskey, where's Mike? Stand up, where's Mike's hiding back? If, for the sponsorships and if anything to do with the rodeo right now, get a hold of Mike. If you can volunteer, sign up, right? Sponsorships. Okay, sponsorships. And then the sign-up sheet, do we have that too? Joni. Where's Joni? Joni, she's in the back, but she was up here leading the music. Get hold of Joni. Signing up, you need to, if work, and such as that. Concession stand. Huh? Okay. All right. And you're going to share some more about that? Okay. Perfect. I'm going to give that back to Hallie then. So, anyway, I didn't want to get in trouble by Heidi because I didn't want us to forget nothing, you know. I mean, there's just some people that you don't want to get in trouble by in the church. And so, you know, I want to pay attention to what I'm doing. So, before I start, I have a song that just, I really feel like the Lord, I'm not going to sing it. But, I want us to listen to the words, and then you'll know right where I'm going, okay, this morning. So, go ahead, Mike. Just listen.
In the dark and all alone, growing comfortable, are you too scared to move and walk out of this tomb? Buried underneath the lies that you believed. Safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. You're just a seed, and it's time to leave. Come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? So brand new, how death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us? veins was more than blood. It's a kind of love that washes it away. Now the door is open wide and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come. So come on and rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new. How death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? To walk out of the dark, He's given us new resurrected hearts. Oh, He's calling us to walk out of the dark. He's given us new resurrected hearts. Oh, come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us?
Thank the Lord. Let's pray right fast. Father God, thank you this morning that you have instilled in every one of us what it takes to rise up, to walk out of the darkness, to fill our spot, to supply what our joint supplies, to be who you've called us to be. So Lord, we thank you this morning, and we all say this. Father God, thank you for opening the eyes of my understanding so that I may know who I am and what I'm to do in this kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. Huh? Kiddos, I'm sorry. Children's church and youth, everybody's kids and youth. Wow, there's a lot of them. That's good. You build it and they'll come. Wasn't that baseball movie when they said he said if you build it they'll come. Build a dream. So, huh? So, does anybody wonder what we're going to talk about this morning? Rise up. For 2 weeks, it's like, oh, the Lord's just, I just kept hearing, rise up, rise up, rise up. You know, and I know whenever Howdy started this morning, and he was talking, you know, when you first got going and you're talking about Washington, D.C. and the deception and all the stuff, you know. And I just know that there's so many people that have been so disappointed in the last several months concerning the condition of our country and our government. And we look at those things and you have this real, like, opportunity to become extremely discouraged and put out. And for some of us, I got past the discouraged, put out part, and I'm more into the other day, Miss Ross, I told somebody else, I said, you know, I'm past this talking point. It's like, bring out the artillery and let's go to war and let's figure out who really wants to win. And then I listen to anointed men of God and they tell me I'm supposed to do it according to the word. And that's not all. So I have to repent and say, Lord, I understand, but you know, David, he killed Goliath. You know, sometimes, you know, he's also told us the battle's not ours, but his. And we got to go about it, like you said earlier, the Lord's way. We got to do it God's way in order to be successful. So anyway, I'm just thinking about all those things, and I'm thinking, and the Lord kept bringing, rise up, rise up, you know. And I got a lot of scriptures I want to share, but I just want to lay some things out there. I want you to think about that you and I, again, I mentioned back when I ministered last time or time before, I talked about Psalms 139 and us, each one of us is, you know, it's time to suck it up. The good old days that Howdy was talking about, you know, there was some fun times. I mean, goodness gracious. I think Joni brought it up earlier about the kids. You know, we miss for our children the simplicity of some things that we had at one time. And we look at that as being the good old days. But hey, again, and I have a tendency, please don't think that Howdy, Corey, Rusty, Ricky, and whoever else stands up here, that I know it appears like we've got it all together, but we don't always have it all together. And it's not always as easy. You know, you think, well, man, they're going by the word and they just got this. No. We struggle just like you do with the same things and the same attitudes, the same opportunities to get in the flesh over it. But it's a deal where you and I were here for such a time as this, and we got to stop and remember that we've been appointed and anointed to fill this spot at this time on this planet and to see what I think are the greatest revelations that God's ever demonstrated that are fixing to take place through us. Amen. But we got to rise up. We got to take our place. We got to fill our spot. We got to go forward. You know, we can't just sit. It does not matter. I mean, it's called the Founders Bible. Anybody else in here got the Founders Bible? Nobody else? You got to get you one. I'm going to read some things out of it maybe here in a little bit. But so I'm like, Lord, what do we do? He said, you know what you do? He said, you go preach the word. He said, you just get out there and you be who I've called you to be and do what I've called you to do. It doesn't matter who is living in the White House, even if it is illegitimately. It is illegitimately. I mean, I don't have any problem saying that. I really feel like it's an illegitimate, you know, it's kind of like a person that stole a car. They might steal your car, Betsy, and they may be driving it around, but the title's still in your name. And we have a person in a position that's been stolen, and the title's not his. It's God's, and there's some things coming down, but in the meantime, I can't stay focused on that. The Lord said, you need to focus on, He said, no matter who's up there, no matter who's appears to be in authority, God's still on the throne. And you and I are still have an obligation to preach the word. He said, rise up and take your place. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all men. Teach them the word. Teach them how to live a godly life every day. That's our duty. God's responsibility is to bring the manifestation of the results He wants to come to pass. But our responsibility, it's our duty to just be who God called us to be. So, with that kind of my introduction, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Y'all know some of these scriptures. You're going to know a bunch of them. But Isaiah chapter 60, if you're there, say amen, shout, do something. Nobody's there yet. Y'all there? Good. Okay, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Say, the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. I've been anointed to preach the gospel. Now, we need to say that and get excited about it. Because when we go out into all the world and preach the gospel, people are going to get saved, sanctified, delivered, set free. And you know what? The works of the devil get squashed. Absolutely. But we got our eyes on, you know, Matthew 13. I don't know how, maybe y'all are not guilty of this. Matthew 13, 18 through 23 talks about the parable of the sower. And it talks about how, you know, there's seed, where the seed's sown, good ground, stony ground and everything. And the one scripture that God pointed out to me this morning was, he said, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word out. Now, I have a tendency, I don't even want to admit this, but I have this tendency to get highly anxious and frustrated. It happens. You know, I like to be seeing things accomplished, and I get envious of people that can just sit there and watch and just be so steady. And maybe there's some turmoil going on inside, but they don't show it. Betsy, I show it. I mean, it's like, Lord, I need some help here. I want to not show that. Do any of y'all have that issue? You get a little anxious or frustrated, you know? And Angela, he does not, does he? But the Lord said, be anxious. In that Philippians 4, he said, be anxious for nothing. He said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And let his peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I have to cultivate that scripture in my life. I got to really work at that. I mean, it's like I want to help God with a lot of things that he doesn't need help with. The way he wants me to help is, he said, first of all, I desire that you make supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving on behalf of all men and for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, he said, first of all, you make the supplications. He said, you do that. And he said, the prayers of a righteous man produce much fruit. Isn't that cool? That gives me, it just excites me. I don't have to see. I don't have to go by what I'm seeing. I don't have to be. We cannot go by what we're seeing. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I know we want to see a little bit. Sometimes we say, Lord, just give me a peek. You know, like some of them shows, them old movies. Just give me a little, show me a little something to know. But he said, no, I want you to trust me. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me and I'm going to direct your steps. He said, you know, in order to rise up, I have got to make my mind up to do that. He told us in Deuteronomy 30, when he said right in there, he said, choose, I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And so life is being anxious for nothing and letting the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then and right on down, he said, think on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. For this is what's praiseworthy. This is what, you know, and so when we make our mind up to get an attitude of praise, we're become the salt and light of the earth. And we're, God sets us up on a hill for people to see. And right now, there's a lot of people out there that need to see the light of God being manifested in their life. They need the peace of God. You and I need to get a hold of that and grasp onto it and say, I will not let go. He's given it to me. He told us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I've given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. He said, and he tells us how to cultivate all those things. Go there right quick. Second Peter, let's go. Y'all, I've got a lot of things wrote down. I want to go by just what the Holy Spirit says to do. And so I'm not doing very good about going by my notes. Second Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, first off, there in verse 3, He said, I've given you all things. So if God said they've given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, we need to take Him at His word and say, I'm a possessor of all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, I can possess these glasses that help me read inside this building, but if I do not put them on, they do me absolutely no good. Well, it's the same thing with everything we've been given that pertains unto life and godliness. We're in possession of it. It's at our disposal. God has given it to us, and God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take things back. He's given it to us, and He said, now you take it up, and you cultivate it. You do it. So let's go on. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I'll stop again for just a minute. We have been given the ability to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, don't look at that like from a sexual standpoint, okay? Lust, it can be power, it can be a multitude of things. Just getting our own way. Just letting the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke out the word. Alan, I can get so guilty of that. I'm working cow this week. We get to Marquez, and it's one of my favorite times of the year, springtime. I like to watch them baby calves, you know, and we get to work all of them this week, and it's a blast. And we gather with a helicopter, and it's fun. It's going to be pretty this week, and the weather's good, you know. But you can get so caught, if you don't watch yourself, you can get so caught up in what you're doing that you forget how to enjoy some things. It becomes a job. And you know, when I love that saying, when you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. You just, you know, you might get tired and wore out, but when you get to do what you like to do, that's a gift from God. And it's been several years ago, Kath and I were living at Yoakum, and I was helping a friend of mine that ranched pretty, he had a lot of cattle, and ranched pretty big, and we're working cattle one day, and Lovell's mad about everything. I mean, it didn't matter. Finally, I stopped him. I said, Lovell, why do you do this? Well, I like it. Well, why don't you demonstrate that you like it? You know, if you like it, why does it make you so mad? Now, I have to stop and think about that some days myself. You know, a friend of mine, when he got saved, he cussed a lot. And probably the filthiest mouth man I'd ever been around in my life. And when he got saved, he really was trying to conquer that. Now, all you guys that have some cattle, you're going to really like this. You'll understand. He got saved, and he called Deb Copenhaver, Jeff Copenhaver's dad, and he said, I want to ask you something, Deb. He said, you and Daddy taught me to cuss when I was a little boy. He said, when you got saved, how did you quit cussing? And he said, it got really quiet. And Deb said, well, a new set of working pens will help a whole lot. You know? That's just not, you know, I mean, look, that's us. You know, God knows who we don't. There's no sense trying to hide this stuff from God. He knows it. You know, so just spit it out. Say, God, I need a little help here. You know, I need some help. I want to rise up. I want to take my place. But I tend to get highly frustrated when the things I've got to do don't go the way I've got them planned. And then you don't listen to God. That's how he was talking about. You got to do it God's way. So we're to rise up and take our place. Guys, this is not what I have wrote down. I mean, part of it is the rising up. But, I mean, the Lord really showed me that day. He said, listen, I want you to be concerned about who's in positions of authority. That's not what I'm getting at. But he said, it doesn't matter who is there. We still have a responsibility to preach the word, to live out the word in our circle where we are, where God's placed us. That's why we're here for such a time as this. And we minister to certain people. And he's given us that ability. I'm so thankful for Howdy's at the schools. He will not know till we're out of here what took place. Till God shows him in front of his face and says, look here. Look what this kid did because of what you did. You won't have any idea until we're out of here. Guys, we're all in the same boat. We're all in a certain situation in certain places, and we've been given favor with certain groups of people. And I know I'll probably sound like a broken record because I go over this all the time. But God stresses it over and over. We each one have been created to fill a spot. I'm going to try to go a little bit here. Let's go. We talked a little bit about Ephesians rising up. John 15:16, you can write this down. It says that we didn't choose God, but he chose us and appointed us and anointed us, each one, to go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit's to remain. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4. And start in verse 1. I'm going to read about 15 or 16 verses, but just listen and think about it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So that means we've each one been called. We have a calling. We all agree with that? I mean, we've been called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We've been given the grace to do what we've been called to do. It's up to us to cultivate that, to progress it, okay? Since we've been given everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth and conquered death, hell, and the grave when he did that, okay? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And we're seated together in those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If you go back to Ephesians 1, you can read that. Okay? But verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And let me stop right there a minute. Now, you know, the fivefold ministry equips the saints, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. It's not up to the fivefold ministry to do all the work of the ministry. You know, we don't just get to come in here and listen to Corey or Howdy or Ricky or me and then go wait for them to do something else. No, we're being equipped. Every Sunday we're being equipped and getting filled up and getting renewed and getting strengthened and getting encouraged and being given, you know, Corey, we're cultivating one another. We're trying to help one another fill our spot. And so we're all here to do the work of the ministry. And whether you're a preacher and stand up here, or you go at the beauty shop and you're cutting hair, I'm going to tell you what, how many hairstylists do we have in here? Do we have any that do hair? barbers or anybody like, okay, when you have them in that chair, you have them trapped. Now, if we're in no fear of losing business, we can subtly begin to implant the word, to share, to do things. We gotta, he said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. So me and you, we need not be fearful about losing out on something. Because when we're doing what God told us to do, we ain't gonna lose out on nothing. It may not always, you know, it's kind of like playing football or roping or whatever, you know. When it's time to go to work and to practice, there's sometimes some physical pain involved, right, Howdy? I mean, there's things that you're going to go through, stuff, you know. Well, you know, there's going to be some times when we're doing what God called us to do, it looks like we're making no progress. We're beating our head against the wall. But he said, you don't judge that. He said, you don't go by what you see. You just do what I told you to do. He said, that's your duty. Mine is the responsibility. As you lift up the name of Jesus, I'll draw men unto me. And so we just got to be diligent about that. I'll keep going in here. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, growing up in all things into Him which is the head, Christ. Verse 15, speak the truth in love. Jesus spoke the truth in love. Did some people get aggravated at him? A lot. But it was mostly religious people. The lost didn't. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know enough to get mad. It was the religious people, because he interrupted their programs. He interrupted their agendas. So, just speak the truth in love and let Christ do the work. You know, that's like dealing with, I'm going to tell you, the opportunities. Thank you, Lord. The opportunities where we are every day to just be who God called us to be, to speak the truth in love. Now, please help me here, because I'm pretty old school about the way I say some things. And I don't mean to offend anyone or not be politically correct. But some of those words we use today to describe people in wrong lifestyles, I don't like them. Because they paint some kind of emotional picture. They've just been deceived, okay? I don't like... have you LGBT or whatever that stupid thing is. I don't know what it, but you know, these people are deceived. And you know, people say, well, you got to love them. Yes, we do love them. We don't love their sin. But if we don't explain to them in love the truth, they're going to continue to be deceived. So we must stand up and put people in office, from the dog catcher up that support biblical truths. We need to investigate who they are. That's part of being who we're called to be. In our workplace, we don't have to do it rudely, but when someone's living, they want to call it an alternative. There's no alternative lifestyles. It's just unholy living. It's just wrong. They're being robbed. They're being stolen. You can shout, clap, whatever. You're not going to interrupt me. I'm loving it. We love those people, but they need to know the truth. And when we begin to tell them the truth, and we begin to demonstrate the love of God to them by telling them the truth, God will cultivate and soften their hearts, And you know what? Then we get rid of these stupid people in office because they're not going to get reelected because there's going to be enough people to push them out. But hey, listen, I am not talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. I'm like, okay, I'm just, ooh, I better not just say it that way. I growed up with those people being called something else, okay? Most of y'all did too. And, you know, there's no alternative lifestyle. There's only one way for marriage, and that's between a man and a woman. And until preachers and us, all of us, stand up and share the truth and not be afraid of losing something or being persecuted, then we can't expect for that to be taken out. Rise up! Take our place. Fill our spot. Be who we're called to be. Supply what our joint... Okay, verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. According to the working... to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we all have a spot to fill. We all supply some part of the body. We're a part of the body. We're supplying something that is a necessity. My little toe has no idea what my kidneys are doing. But my kidneys are real proud. My little toe is part of the foot that carries it to the bathroom when it needs to go. We need to not get judgmental about what somebody else is called to do. We got to throw out the judgmental, critical spirits. And when we see, and you know, and I know some people, I just know, having pastored before, and I wasn't a very good pastor, but I didn't have quite that compassion, maybe. I don't know what you call it, but Howdy's got so much of it. Corey, somewhat. I love him. But when you have an evangelistic anointing, that's the main anointing, the pastoral deal can sometimes get pushed down a little bit. And so, but he wants to see you come into the kingdom and fill your spot. And I lost track of what I was talking about. The judgmental critical spirits, that's what I was going at. Some people are saying, well, you know, if he's the pastor, he ought to be here every Sunday. You got no right to judge what God told him to do. We have no right to judge what God's telling others to do. What we want to do is fill our spot, supply what our joint supplies, and then we're going to complement their position. We make their job easier. It makes my kidney's job easier when my feet can take it where it needs to go when it's time to go there. I know that's a dumb illustration, but look, there's parts of the body that never touch. They don't know what the other part's doing, but they're real glad it's doing it because it helps that other part do what it's supposed to do. And we got to get that mindset. We have to cultivate that mindset that I supply a part here and it's important. But so is Kenny's and so is Betsy's and so is Howdy's and so is Al's and so is every Mike. And the part you do, please know, God wants you to know today that the part you are in the body is extremely important. Do not discount it, but don't discount nobody else's either. Help them by doing your part. We got to help one another by filling the spot God created us to fill before the foundations of the world. And as we do, that's part of rising up, taking our place, and just being who we're called to be. Now we got to do that deal with boldness. We got to make up our mind, you know what, I'm going all out. So one of the things that I don't have a scripture particularly for this, but it's something I confess daily. We must recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan and put a stop to them by speaking the word of God out of our mouth in faith. And then no enemy will stop us from finishing our race. Did y'all get that? Recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan and put a stop to them by speaking the word of God out of our mouth in faith. faith, and no enemy will stop us from finishing our race. You know, sometimes I recognize, but I let the frustration my agenda get in the way. You know, I'm like, okay, I laid this out, the plans for today, and I let that get in the way instead of, and you know, and Satan disrupts those. Well, sometimes it's not Satan disrupting those plans, y'all. It's God ordained delays for protection. And it's, you know, and sometimes it's hard to look at it that way. But when you know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and Miss Ross, my wife, reminds me of this all the time when I get highly frustrated. If you believe your steps are ordered of the Lord, then you got to believe you're in the right place at the right time. And I'm like, okay, it's a struggle, but I'm getting better. But we got to make up our mind. Do we want to be in the right place at the right time? I do. I want to be right in the middle of where God's got for me to be, because that's a fun spot. Not without, you know, it's work. Sometimes it's work, but it's a fun spot. And when we fill that spot and we do what God called us to do, then people around us are being ministered to, whether we know it or not. Just because Hallie's being who he's called to be at that school. It's okay if I use, I mean, it's yeah. It's as we be who we're called to be, I'm telling you, whether we see it or not, people are being set free and delivered. They are. And so please, you know, that's one of the strategies and deceits of Satan is to tell us, man, you're not doing any good. You know, what you said today, you know, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. God don't focus on the don'ts. He focuses on the do's. This is what you can do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be all that God called you to be. Me and you can each one be that. We can each one fill that spot. We can go and do and be who we're called to be. Revelation 12:11 says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so to be overcomers, we got to testify. We got to share it. Revelation 12, verse 11 and 12. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we're not to be silent. You know, if we look at that, we think about that silence thing, the reason that the Holocaust took place is because the church was silent. The reason that we have perverted individuals in positions of authority in this nation is because the church has been silent. We can be silent. We can afford not afford to be silent any longer. I truly believe that when we, the church, just, you know, that's not, you know, the church, the body of Christ, when we step up and fill our spot and we begin to speak up, and we decide, well, I will not be silent. I'm going to testify. I'm going to declare. And God's going to bring it to pass. You know, when our governor lifted the mask deal, I'm watching Victory Channel, and Rick Green is another constitutionalist with David Barton, and he said, "I'm thankful that Governor Abbott, you know, did what he did, but said, you know, shouldn't be thanking a person for giving you something back they shouldn't have taken away in the first place." He had no right to do that. And they talk about the people on them tech on the Facebook stuff, you know, where they're going to shut you up. Look, I want them to know where I'm at. I ain't scared to tell them anything that might upset them, because I'm wishing they'd come to talk to me face to face. Now, first, I'm going to try to introduce them to Jesus scripturally, and then we'll go from there. Guys, we got to stand up. Rise up and take our place. Do not be fearful. You be who God called you to be and fill your spot. You are so anointed to do what God called you to do. Cultivate that anointing. Know that in the name of Jesus. And I've got all kinds of things falling up here. There was one or two other scriptures I want to share, and then I want to close. Oh, let's go to Psalms 83. Actually, this was something I pray over the nation and Israel, and that's really what it's for, is a prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. But in Psalms 83, the first part, let's read the first few verses here. It says, "Do not," and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with us, for us to understand here. It says, "Do not be silent." Now this is here praying, "Do not be silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have lifted up their head, and they take crafty counsel together against your people. They consult together against your sheltered ones. They said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they consult together with one consent and form a confederacy against you." That's what they're doing to us. That's what they're trying to do to us. So, God said, don't be silent. Don't be still. Let your voice be heard. Not rudely. Not in a manner that's exercising the authority that God's given us to walk in. And it tells us in Job to declare a thing and it will be established for us. Don't be afraid to tell someone that, you know, in love, that show them in the Word. If they want to argue with that, that's their business. They're arguing with God, not me and you. When we share the Word with them, the truth, in love, I mean, the first few times we do it, it may not really be in love. But if we're sharing the Word, okay, just be honest. You want to slap them with it, not sometimes, not just, you know, you don't want to, it's not a loving thing to begin with. But as we begin to do that, it's like being mad at someone. When we begin to pray for someone, then that goes away. You can't stay mad at someone and pray for them for a long time. I mean, it takes a little while, it takes a little cultivating, but when we use the Word, when we preach the Word does not return void. It accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. So we share the Word with them, and this is the love of God. The Word of God is the love of God. When we share it with them, that's the truth, and when we share the truth will set them free. It's not our responsibility to do that. It's God's. It's the Word. We're just supposed to just put it out there and let them do it. Okay? So don't be silent. I like the end of that chapter where it says, verse 13, it says, "Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind." And it goes on. You know, that's not so much in the deal. But the biggest thing that I think today was, I thank y'all for listening to me, and I know that sometimes my illustrations might lack something, but God just, He told me, the two things He gave me for us this week was, number one, rise up and take our place, and number two was recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan and put a stop to them by speaking the Word of God out of our mouth in faith. And as we do that, what we're doing, you know, as we go forth and we share, then people are, they're hearing the truth. And when they hear the truth, they have to make a decision. It's not, we can't make that for them. And it's the same way with, you're sitting here today and you've heard stuff today and you're like, oh, something's, you're uncomfortable. Something's moving. You know, maybe you're just uncomfortable because of the way I present it, but I think mostly if you're sitting here and you're uncomfortable and you're thinking, man, there's something here I'm not, and well, it could be that the Holy Spirit's tugging on you saying it's time for you to come to Jesus and understand that Jesus died for me and you. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we were at a funeral yesterday and a friend of mine did the service, and and this is one of the best illustrations I've ever heard. He said, you know, before you get saved, you just pretend you're in this, you're a thorn bush in this bucket of dirt, And you can fertilize that thorn bush and it'll just grow and thorns will come forth and it'll still be a thorn bush. But if you pull that one out and put a grape vine in there, it's a grape vine that produces good fruit. Guys, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they gave that perfect relationship, our personal unwavering relationship with the Lord away. But Jesus came and bought it back. And so if you're sitting here today and there's a tugging going on, then there's good possibility that the Lord's tugging at you saying it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come into His presence and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So we're all going to pray together and pray this prayer. And if that's you today, I want you to pray it with us and come home and accept what God's done for you. So let's all pray. Father God, I thank you today for Jesus. I recognize personal that I'm out of your will,
unwavering relationship,
and I'm not living in your presence.
But Jesus came and bought it back.
So, Father God,
so if you're sitting here today,
I thank you
going on,
as I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give my life to you. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I thank you for that. I receive eternal life. I receive my relationship with you, Father God, put back together in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, we want to get a Bible to you, and so I won't embarrass you, but I just want you to, I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, raise your hand. I just want to get a Bible to you, and we say thank you. So if that's you, raise your hand on three. One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. This is like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's like, Lord, please bring somebody in here so we can get some more. But I'm going to tell you what, some days it's a teaching day to get a hold. And you guys, I want you to look in the mirror this week. And when you look in the mirror, smile at yourself and say, I am so anointed to do what God called me to do. And love it, okay? Give yourself a hand. Give yourself some credit for being who God called you to be. And just go be that person and watch God set people free through you. Thank y'all for listening and thank y'all for letting me speak. And y'all have a blessed week.
Need help down?
Yeah, I've been building fence this week.
Anybody ever built fence? That's what it feels like right there. It's like this, yeah. Ugh. Ugh. I've done that before. Digging them holes. Yeah. Painful, isn't it? Feel good when you get out there. It makes the sweet tea taste better when you get there, you know, when lunchtime rolls around. But he kind of stepped on my toes today. Did he step on y'all's? He calling us out, wasn't he? I saw in 2 Timothy, I was reminded of a scripture. He was talking about how God... In 2 Timothy in the Amplified, it says, God thoroughly, He outfits us and thoroughly equips us for every good work. God is your outfitter. If you deer hunters, you know what outfitting is. You got somebody that takes you around and shows you where all the prizes are, right? What do you think God's doing for you? He's outfitting you so that you can be fully equipped for the good and the bad. All the good stuff that He promised you, but also the stuff that He said, here's something on the horizon coming towards you. You better get it taken care of now or it's going to get closer. We're thoroughly equipped and we're all called to do something. That is absolutely, absolutely true. Believe it. Live it. Amen. Do you want to come right quick? Say something right quick. I would call this a good testimony or a good thing, right? Okay, go ahead.
So some of you may or may not know that I work for a ministry called And Then There Were None. We help abortion clinic workers leave the industry and find other jobs and help with their healing and things like that. Our clients talk a lot. I mean, it could be from California to New York. They somehow talk to each other. And we have a client who recently told us that they got word that everybody in one of the abortion clinics in Indiana could very well be putting in their resignations all at the same time very soon. So I just want to ask for prayer about that. Like, we just to be able to be equipped to help all of them, and just the changing of their hearts. And I don't know, God just put it really heavy on my heart to ask for prayer from you guys. And then Rusty brought up the Holocaust, and that's like really compared with abortion. And so I was like, okay, gotta ask everyone for prayer. So it's an abortion clinic in Indiana. So just keep them on your prayer and pray that comes to fruition. And yeah.
Exactly. Good things, huh? That's the thoroughly equipping stuff, right? God shutting down all these devil environments, right? I'm telling you just hang in there. You start seeing it, man. You start seeing all these good things happening. Great things are coming our way. I'll try to remember everything that was in my notes. I had it written down and I forgot to take it up here with me. But as Rusty was talking about earlier, yes, we do have our rodeo coming up. If you're going to sponsor, or, you know, if your company would like to sponsor, if you'd personally like to sponsor, or if the company you work for might want to sponsor and you know they want to contribute to the rodeo, it is the Liberty Hill Pro Rodeo, or the Liberty Hill Rodeo, and then the Pro Steer Tripping. So if you'd like to contribute to that or be a sponsor, please see Mike. He can get you set up. We have all kinds of packages, right? We have new packages that we've maxed out all the other ones, so we had to create some. That's hearts to give, and that's also prosperity. That's awesome. We've got so much coming in that we had to create new ways, or new things, new packages, so that people could give to it. So, Dorothy, what? Right there with the cowboy hat. That's the Mikester right there. That's the guy. So if you would. If you'd like to do what? The one with the, yeah. Okay, it's the guy standing up front of the sound booth with the cowboy hat that raised his hand. Okay. Yeah, okay. It's like being at a Harley Davidson convention. Yeah, it's a guy on the motorcycle over there. It's like being at Sturgis. Yeah, it's that guy on that motorcycle over there. Okay, which one? Okay. Y'all quit laughing. Y'all making fun of me? Yeah, he's got a name tag that says Mike on it, so. All right. Enough of the sarcasm. Okay. So that's one big thing. That's our big rodeo's coming up in April. So y'all be praying about that. You know, be praying about when you can, how you can contribute. Even if you're not giving financially, find a way that you can contribute your time, whether it's in the concession stand. See Joni. Joni is the lady that does not have a cowboy hat. She is sitting to the south side at 95 longitude, 97 latitude, right there. That's Joni. If you would like to serve in the concession stand during the rodeo, please go see her. So we've got a huge concession stand back there. It is so nice. It is such a blessing how we have gotten out of that little building up to here. It's grown. We're packed in there. But please see her if you would like to donate your time for that, or if you when we get closer, we'll start getting a sheet together for people who'd like to serve in the arena, would like to help with parking and all that stuff. That's something we do like the week before. We'll get to that. Okay, so. The third thing I'd like to talk about is the baptisms in next week. We had to skip it last month because of Snowmageddon, right, where everybody's building snowmen. So next weekend we'll do the baptisms. So everybody that was going to get baptized in February and anybody else that wants to, okay, we're letting you know that next Sunday we will do those things, okay? But let us know who you are so we can put your name on the list and we'll also give you a little certificate. And the fourth thing is the floor. You guys be praying about if you want to give towards that, the floor. We didn't spend a lot doing the floor when we originally built this. It was me. Was AJ here? It was Byron. Yeah, Byron was here. We did this floor ourselves. And we did okay. It was like building a paper. We basically built a paper airplane when it should have been, you know. Yeah, it was just something that we just did with the knowledge that we had, which was basically none. So, but we have lived and learned. I have done my own floor in my house, and it looks like it's supposed to, and it looks like what's out there in the foyer. You know, when you live and learn, you you get better at it. Okay, so next time we do this floor, it's gonna look like it's supposed to. So if you'd like to contribute to that financially, and the Easter eggs, yeah. What weekend is Easter? It's the week before the rodeo, right? So yeah, we will be doing Easter eggs. If you're wanting to bring Easter eggs, please bring them. We'll bring them to the church. Yes, no chocolate, nothing that melts, something that can be outside, and by that time it's usually warm about that time of the year, so please bring stuff that will not melt, and you know, so just and bring them to the church. We can pile them up here, right? We can bring them all in. We have a room back there. We can store it all in. So if you have them, bring them in a bag, you know, find one of the kids ministries and leaders, and we'll find, you know, put them in their correct place. And I think that covers everything except for one thing. Anyway, did I cover everything announcement wise that you can think of? Okay. Yeah. So if you would like to give to Rusty, this bucket right here is specifically for him. If you haven't done your tithes and offerings, those buckets are for that. This one specifically to Rusty. He doesn't get paid to be here. So if you'd like to give to his ministry, it's He Paid Your Fees. Okay. You can make the check to He Paid Your Fees, not Cowboy Church, not WCCC. Don't make it out to us or to the church. Make it to He Paid Your Fees. And this bucket right here is for that. If you want a tax receipt, get an envelope, write your name on it, put your address. He can get you a tax receipt at the end of the year. If you just want to throw cash in there, just throw it in there, okay? But if you'd like to contribute, this is his bucket right here, okay? Yes. Did you have something? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I'm that guy. I'm talking about something else. Something that started right here in this church where we're going to make a difference. Last year, remember the whole thing about churches were not essential? Well, some of us rose up here. We had a meeting right in this church with Pastor Corey and Corey Huffman and Ronnie Christian and Jonathan Science of Texas Values. So if you're on their email about what's going on tomorrow, it started here. And we took an idea. We took it to state convention that churches are essential. We got made the second highest legislative priority. We wrote a bill. The bill has gone to the Texas House and Senate. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, they're hearing testimony on this topic in the Texas State Affairs Committee, where we have an opportunity to make that a law that no one can say that churches are not essential anymore. So we encourage you, if you'd like to testify, we are making a difference, and it started right here. Thank you.
More good things. Yes. Y'all stand to your feet. We'll get out of here. When we dismiss, if you want to come give, you can come give after we pray and leave. All right, let's pray and we'll head out. Father, love you. Thank you for so many good things that are coming towards us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being in us, with us, teaching us, guiding us. We are yours and you are ours. So we leave today expecting great things to happen to us. Everywhere we go, everything we set our hands to do, we will prosper. We will be successful because you are our God. We love you so much and we honor you because you're worthy of honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed with a big round.